Turn me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, we have it up here if you didn't bring your Bible. I want to read verses 1 through 4 to you, and then 5 through 8 I'm going to have you read with me in our normal way of you read the yellow and I read the white. But I want to read this so we can get it back. Now, the last time I preached on this was like the first or second week of April. And then we went into Easter and Palm Sunday and me being gone and those kind of things. So I want to kind of re-remind us where we are. And for you who are new, we're going through verse by verse in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, so that we get a good, coherent idea of what's going on. 5:1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write you, for you yourselves know perfectly or accurately that the day of the Lord, and do you remember what the day of the Lord is? That is when the rapture takes place and then the tribulation starts, and the day of the Lord goes all the way into eternity, okay? And the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that that day should overtake you as a thief. Can't wait till he comes back, amen? So we can get into the grandstands and watch all this take place. here's my problem this morning is that I'm building an understanding for us out of 1 Thessalonians 5 so we can understand accurately what Paul is saying through the first 11 verses. And so we have to build our knowledge and understanding of the context because it's the core of our hope. Do you realize that? It's the core of our hope. What is our blessed hope and glorious appearing? The glorious appearing of great God, our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's our hope, right? A great hope. And this builds our hope. And so if you haven't been here for these studies and you're fairly new, you can go to harvestfellowship.church. Isn't that a great... yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you, Bobby, for doing that. Harvestfellowship.church. In the last week in March, I preached on the rapture. And the first week in April, I talked about the end times, and we talked about worthy is the Lamb, and so on, so that you can get caught back up and have a greater perspective. So we're going to go to the next slide, and I'm going to read the white, and you read the yellow, okay? And you're going to read out, because I haven't been in church since two Sundays ago, so I really need the Word of God. And so you preach it to me, okay? All right. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. Therefore, let us not sleep as others as others do, but let us watch. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. You know, I want to expand the passage a little bit because there's some, I think it's a great translation that we just read, but there's a few words that I think will even make a little more sense. So I want to start out with the first verse, and that is, you are all sons of light and sons of day. Can you go to the next slide for me? Okay, notice I crossed out the thus. Now, the reason I'm doing that is it isn't that we're of the day. It's that we are day. Okay? That's the way the Bible talks. That's the way Paul said it. We are all sons or all children of light and children of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. What we need to understand in this passage is that Paul is talking about two categories of people. The day people, that's us, and the night people, those who reject Christ. And here today, you are here today, you are in one of those categories. Okay? If we know Christ and we've accepted Him as Savior and Lord of our life, we are of day. Those who have chosen not to bend the knee to Christ and do not believe that He's the Lord of their life are of night and darkness. And your first response to this may be, well, Steve, wait a minute here. Sometimes I participate in darkness. I sin. Is that a good question? Yeah, me too. I know I'm a preacher, but I'm human, right? And we all fall down at times, and that's why we come to church. To hone our lives to be like Christ, to encourage one another in truth and righteousness, learn His word and apply it to our lives, and hang around with other people who are all in the light as well. The categories can simply be stated, saved or unsaved. Now, the reason you might relate to the darkness is because you lived there at one point, right? That was your home. And you were saved out of that darkness, but we can still remember our history, right? And the second thing is what a preacher said to me one time is the closer you get to the light, the more dirt you see, right? Now, here's why these categories are important. Every Christian sins and falls short of God's standard. So we may assume that we're walking in darkness, even though we are children or Christians of the light. And the others, other times we're tempted and we think we've sinned when we haven't. It's just temptation, and temptation comes from the dark world, doesn't it? And it doesn't feel good at all. And it brings back remembrance of our old life and our bad choices. Some of you were probably birthed into Christianity, and you were raised in a Christian home, and you may not have wandered off like some of us. Okay? And boy, can we relate back to that old world. But remember the Hebrews writer when he said this, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are." Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me so much relief. Yes. Jesus Christ had every temptation I had and you had, and yet without sin. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus gets it, right? Sometimes we think He doesn't get it, right? You're in there and you're getting tempted, or you fall into something and then you feel miserable and you're thinking, oh my gosh, Jesus has no idea what I'm going through. I've heard people say that over and over. You know, God has no idea what I'm going through. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
He totally knows what you're going through. He went through all temptations. To be absolutely true to God's word and to 1 Thessalonians 5, it is impossible, if you know Christ as Savior, to be in darkness. It's impossible because we are children of light. I love this in John. It's one of the areas I first learned as a Christian. In John chapter 1, verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." But we did, right? We do. We comprehend the light. So when we give in to the fellowship with darkness, alarms go off in your head and it doesn't work well and we feel miserable. Am I the only one?
No.
Okay. An unsaved person isn't miserable about it. They just want to do more. That's what the Bible says. We get miserable Because all of a sudden we're fellowshipping with darkness, and that's not where we are. We're in the light. And the light shines as we, if we participate in darkness, it's bright. It's too bright, isn't it? So let me read from Ephesians. It's kind of a parallel passage where Paul makes clear on this subject in chapter 5, starting with verse 8. For you were, and now that's past tense, completed action. For you were once darkness. You were once darkness. You no longer are, is what that verb is. But now, you are light in the Lord. Okay, so does anybody have a problem thinking, okay, well, I know Steve's talking about there's people in light, but I'm in darkness. If you've accepted Christ as Savior, you're in the light. That's what Paul's saying. So listen to this. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Or we could even say so. I think that's probably what Paul's saying. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And you remember what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all fruit of the Spirit that operate in our life. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out, and what the word finding out means, it means to test it out and then approve it. That is what we want to do in God's sight. So test and approve what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is a shameful, even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Do you understand that? What he's saying? Have you ever told yourself, hey, wait a minute, that's not right? Maybe in your head or even out loud. You know, when Debbie and I were in Chicago, we had a liquid sunshine the whole time, and we'd run around till we were totally soaked, and then we'd go up to our room, and it was towards the evening time, and we got up there, and we usually run till we drop dead. We're just that way, okay? But we couldn't do that, so we got up to our room. It was 7-8 in the evening, and so we hunted I got on the clicker on the TV and looked to see what movies were on. And there was a movie title that we saw that someone had recommended to us. It was about a football team. And I thought, okay, great, let's watch that. So we got into bed and we started watching it. And it wasn't very long. The scene goes to these professional football players that just won the world champs. And so they're having an orgy with their women followers. And it's like, oh my gosh. We both immediately said, hey, wait a minute, that's not right, and shut the thing off. And I look at that, and that's what exposure is. We are exposing that wrong is wrong. And so many people tell us wrong is right. Last night, Debbie was watching a program, I was watching it with her, and all of a sudden it went to sin, and we got rid of it. We expose sin. We don't play with it. And, okay, you might be asking, well, wait a minute, Steve, though, but isn't that kind of tempting? Okay, let's be honest. Sin is tempting, right? Yeah. That's not the question. The question is, are we going to expose it and stop it? It doesn't bear any good fruit. It bears ruin and destruction and momentary shipwrecks in our life with Christ, because we are children of light. So I want to finish the passage in 1 Thessalonians with 5. You are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Now, when Paul says that, he's not saying stay up 24 hours a day for the rest of your life. Not going to work, is it? When you fall asleep, you're probably running into the car in front of you. Okay? What he's saying is being alert. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. And as others do, here's a neat thing about it. It means the remaining ones. Okay? Let us therefore not sleep as the remaining, what remaining ones? Those going into the tribulation. But let us watch. And when Paul uses this word watch, he means watch to learn, to be steadfast and stable, to be alert, not to be confused, and be sober, to be in control of your mind, not to be in danger of irrational thinking. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. So how do we protect ourselves? I mean, that's all fine and great, but how do we protect ourselves? Well, in verse 8, Paul tells us how to do that. He tells us how to stay away from fellowshipping with darkness and to keep alert and don't have irrational thinking, because anytime we fall into sin is irrational, is it not? We go, oh, we know better, but we're going to get some out, but no, we're not going to, you know, and we get all irrational. And Paul's saying, stay rational. So look at verse 8. But let us who are of the day, that's you and I, be sober, be well balanced, be not irrational, have self-control. And then it says putting on the breastplate. Almost sounds like we're supposed to put it on, right? Well, it's past tense. You have already put it on. The moment you trusted Christ, you have this breastplate. You got to remember you got it on, okay? So it says, having put on already the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So how do we protect ourselves? Well, I want to give you three things: faith, love, and hope. Number one, faith. We believe and trust God that we are children of light, right?
Yes.
No doubts, we are children of light. We are sons of light. We remember and utilize that faith and complete trust. There's no debate. We are children of light. Number two, operate out of love. There's no fear and self-protection in love. Or thinking God might have changed his mind at the last minute because you're not worth it. No. I love this out of 1 John. There is no fear in love, but perfect, complete, mature love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect or complete in love. We love him because he first loved us. Isn't that true? Number three. Remember to wear our salvation. Sounds funny, doesn't it? But it said the helmet of salvation. Okay, so most of you know I'm a motorcycle rider. I usually, every day, unless it's absolutely raining or ice, I'm here. I ride 3.8 miles to work and back, and I always bring my motorcycle. And every time I go to get on the motorcycle, I think, should I wear my helmet? Right? Should I wear my helmet? And, of course, all of you go, yeah, Steve, we want your head to be crushed. You know, in fact, Frank said one day I had my helmet on the back rest, and I was taken off, and he goes, you know, and I heard him, and he said, come here. And he says, Steve, put on that helmet. And he says, man, you have too much money packed into that head of yours. Wear your helmet. And so I put my helmet on. And so it's funny because every time I go, I think, okay, am I going to wear my helmet? And I think, yeah, I'm going to wear my helmet. Now, what's interesting is I'll be riding down the road and I feel very secure with my helmet. If I don't wear my helmet, I love it because the wind's blowing in my face, but I feel insecure. Do all you riders kind of agree with that? You know, okay. And so this is exactly what Paul's saying. Take that helmet of salvation and keep it on your head, because you're secure, because you are saved. That's not in question. You can't take your helmet off, obviously, in this case. But you have to decide to wear your salvation every time you think, wait a minute, I'm saved. I'm saved. I am not going to fellowship with darkness. I'm saved. I'm God. I'm a child. Now, That's what Paul says to do. Now, I thought, how can I complicate that? Make it into 18 points, you know, so we can walk through all. I couldn't figure it out. I tried to complicate it. I couldn't do it. Love, faith, love, and hope, right?
Yep.
Isn't that interesting that 1 Corinthians, when he's talking about love, he gets done and he says, now abides faith, hope, and love. Same thing that Paul said. But the greatest of these is love. We have the armor to fend off the darkness. Don't kid yourself that you are a victim and you can't do it. God says you can, and you do. The fruit of the Spirit gives you every advantage to not fellowship in darkness. Wear your helmet. Right? Wear your helmet. God is calling on you and me not to doubt, but to walk in that light that we're already in and bear fruit. To be alert and knowledgeable, knowing the times and seasons, and not to live in fear, because mature love casts out that fear. We are light. Say that with me.
We are light.
Say it again. We are light. Say it again. We are light. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm light. Okay? Hey, I heard darkness in there somewhere. Oh, no. Okay. All right. I thought I heard somebody say I'm darkness. Okay. And I've got a message for you if you did say you're darkness. Man, we are light. Let's act like it, huh? You know, if you've come this morning and you don't know Christ, and you may be here for first time, second time, and you've really never bent the knee to Christ, and most of us here have. That's why we're here. Let me just give you a moment to think about this. You know, the Bible says that, and I said that all of us as Christians, we all fall short of the standards of God. You remember me saying that? Well, you know, you do too, if I'm talking to you this morning. And God said the wages of that sin is eternal death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning, today's the day you want to give your life to Christ. Be a child of light. Be a child who enters heaven. I'm going to pray a prayer and you pray that. And let's all pray together. All the rest of you pray like crazy. Okay? Let's pray. If I'm talking to you this morning, just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said. And because of that, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. Our heads are bowed. If you prayed that prayer this morning and you really meant it, will you raise your hand up? Let us pray for you and also let God know you meant business. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? Father, we are so thankful that we can put our faith and trust in you. And Lord, help us to walk in the light as you are in the light and have no fellowship with darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're running late, so we're not going to have a closing song. Thank you for coming. We love you. See you next week.